The book of Daniel today. We are in Daniel chapter 3, and we begin our study in verse number 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time, in chapter 2, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a dream. It was a revelation from God. He didn't know what it meant, so Daniel interpreted the dream for him. And now, as we come to chapter 3, it is about 20 years after this dream. And it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And so, as I said, about 20 years after his dream in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar makes this 90-foot image. It was 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and no one knows exactly what it was an image of. It says in verse 2, he then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. The king orders all local and provincial leaders from every part of the empire to attend this dedication service. I'm not sure if they knew exactly what this was all about. Verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, this is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. This meeting was not voluntary, and they will not be asked to do something. They will be commanded to do something. And here it is in verse 5. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And I would say that Nebuchadnezzar would fit very well into the definition of a fool, biblical definition of a fool. He is a fool with a pretty short memory. He had been told by God through that dream that he had, which Daniel interpreted, that everything that he had attained was from the hand of God. He was the most powerful man in the world. No question about that. But God told him that it was God who made him that way. And yet here he is giving orders to worship this 90-foot idol, a fool with a short memory. Whoever does not fall down and worship, verse 6 says, will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. This is forced worship. And of course, forced worship like this is a waste of time as far as God is concerned. But it is how Satan does business. See, the devil doesn't care if people want to worship him or his idols or not. He doesn't care if they want to or not, just as long as they do. That's because if people are worshiping him or his idols, then they are not giving God his due. and that makes the devil's day. 7. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They worshipped the idol because they were afraid of dying. And as I mentioned a few seconds ago, that's not how God does business. Worship me or die? Christians do not worship God to avoid hell. That's not why we worship God. I don't worship God in order to avoid hell. God doesn't say, worship me, or I'll throw you in the lake of fire. We receive Christ to avoid the lake of fire because he's the Savior. Once we do that, we worship God because we want to worship him. 8. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. Daniel and his 3 Hebrew friends are reported to the king. Actually, Daniel's not involved in this for some reason. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's out of the country at this point. But anyway, Daniel's 3 friends, I should say, are reported to the king because they did not worship this idol. Verse 9. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And of course, they're buttering the king up. They haven't come to honor the king or tell him that they want him to live forever. That's not the reason, but they had to say something nice about him before they got to their real purpose for being there. Verse 10. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. They remind the king. They remind the king that his order to worship the idol was firm and there could be no exceptions. You have ordered everyone to do that, king, remember? And see, these astrologers really have it in for Daniel's 3 friends. They are setting them up by reminding the king, number one, of his orders. 11. They go on. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. They remind the king of his law. And the punishment was also etched in stone, again with no exception. And they remind the king of the furnace thing. Verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. These accusers are trying to come across like they are defending the honor of Nebuchadnezzar. O king, you are so great and wonderful, and somebody is disobeying your laws. Isn't that a terrible thing? Well, the fact is they are jealous of Daniel's 3 friends because the king likes them more than he likes them, or more than he likes other leaders. And so they are jealous. The king had promoted them to a position higher than theirs, and that's why they're trying to get them. And it seemed like they got through to Nebuchadnezzar because verse 13 says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. The king's pride caused him to be filled with rage. Of course, these guys, they came and they buttered the king up and they told him how wonderful he was. And that caused him to be even more puffed up with pride. And then they laid this deal on him that somebody was actually daring to disobey his command. Well, that caused him to be filled with rage because he was filled with pride. How dare anyone not obey one of my direct commands? I'm such a great king. I had to live forever, and somebody is disobeying me. 14, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Is it true? Well, I got to hand it to Nebuchadnezzar. He's at least giving these Hebrews a chance. He's giving them a second chance. At least he was fair, I guess. The law was unrighteous. The law was dastardly. But they're receiving a fair trial anyway to see if they broke this unrighteous law. He says, is it true? And then he goes on to say in 15. He says, now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then listen to what he says at the end. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? What a shocking thing to say. He is giving these Hebrew men a second chance. But is he ever arrogant? He, in essence, dares God Almighty to try to stop him from punishing these Hebrews if they do not comply to his idolatry. He dares God. Then what God will be able to stop me from killing you? He says. This guy needs to be put in his place. 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. In other words, king, we don't even have to think about our answer. You've given us a choice. We don't even have to think about it. Here's our answer. And this is one of the greatest statements in Scripture, 17 and 18. But look at 17 first. But if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. He may save us from the furnace, but he's definitely going to rescue us from your hand, king, one way or the other. And by saying this, these three Hebrews are saying, King, you are wrong. We just want you to know that. You are wrong. Our God is bigger than your idol. Our God is bigger than your furnace. Our God is bigger than you. Our God is bigger than all three of you put together. We just want you to know that. But I love verse 18. This is, I think, one of the greatest statements in all Scripture, given the circumstances that these three young men found themselves in. But even if he does not deliver us, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. He can, but he might not. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to change our mind. They will follow God no matter what. That is their answer. They will follow God into a furnace if need be. They will follow God to death if need be. There are 6.5 billion people on this planet. Each and every one of us must decide if we will do our own thing or follow God, no matter what that means, because that is the issue. That is the one choice. The two choices that we have. But when deciding, everyone should remember the words of Christ. Unless you pick up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. They just stood face to face with this king, and they told him that he wasn't that important, that God was more important. And boy, is he ticked off, huh? Cranking the furnace up 7 times would take care of these Hebrews in a hurry, and would take care of them completely, too. And I guess the king didn't want there to be anything left of them. He's so angry. 20. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So he cranked the furnace up 7 times, and then he took some of his strongest soldiers and had them tie up these 3 Hebrews. Nebuchadnezzar clearly wasn't taking any chances on them escaping. Well, they weren't going to run away anyway. But he puts his toughest soldiers in charge of throwing the Hebrews into the fire. 21. So these men, these Hebrews, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. They were fully clothed. Can you just imagine this? I guess it doesn't make that much difference, but being fully clothed, even with your turban on your head, that would sort of, your clothes would sort of act like kindling would, I would think. They would catch fire immediately, and then that would begin to scorch your flesh, as well as your head and your hair. But it says in verse 22, look at this. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire started flying out of the furnace, it was so hot, and killed these tough soldiers. The furnace was so hot that the flames jumped out and burned the soldiers alive. You know what? These soldiers would have been better off siding with the Hebrews. They would have been better off saying, King, we're not going to do it. Sorry. Well, they would have been put to death, but they died anyway. Jesus says, he who loses his life for my sake, which is what these 3 Hebrews are willing to do, shall find it. But these soldiers, they lost their lives while serving an idol. So they not only lost their lives, they lost their souls. 23. And these 3 men firmly tied fell into the blazing furnace. God did not keep them out of the fire, just as God doesn't always protect his people from problems today. But look, 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, wasn't it 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. Well now, the king looked into the furnace, expecting to see the charred bodies of the 3 Hebrews, but he seems to be a little surprised. Verse 25 tells us why. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. The king looked into the furnace, expecting to see the charred bodies of the 3 Hebrews, and he saw something else. He saw 4 men. Instead of 3, he saw 4, and they're walking around. God may not keep us from all of our problems. He may not keep us from problems, but he is always with us in the midst of them. And if he allows them, it is to use them to accomplish something for his glory. That's what happened here. Right about now, everyone in that furnace room, everyone who is watching understands that God is God. 26. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. He wises up real quick, doesn't he? This Nebuchadnezzar. He moves fast to get on the good side of the Hebrews and to get on the good side of their God. He moves real fast. Tells him, come out. And that's okay, too. It's okay that he wised up. It's okay because sometimes it takes something shocking to get people to get serious about the Lord. And it's better that they get serious about the Lord after being shocked into it than not getting serious about God ever. 27. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire in them. And all the people gathered around by that furnace who watched all this stuff happen, they know for a fact that none of their idols could have or would have done for them what God has done for these three Hebrews. They see the difference. And something else they probably recognize, instead of striking the king dead, maybe they didn't recognize it, but it's true, instead of striking the king dead for making his idol, God graciously allowed all this to transpire in order to cause Nebuchadnezzar to repent. He could have just struck Nebuchadnezzar dead for making that idol, but he didn't do that. He allowed all this to happen so that he would see that God is God and that he would repent and be saved. Because that's God's business, trying to save people. 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defeated the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." And old Nebuchadnezzar isn't mocking God any longer, is he? Now, and he's not daring God anymore either. Now he is praising God and commending the Hebrews for their faith in God. It took courage, it took faith to stand firm like these three Hebrews did in the face of death, a horrible death. But we see from this that standing firm for Jesus is hard sometimes, but we never know how God will use our steadfastness as a witness to others. 29. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. Nebuchadnezzar officially makes the worship of the one true God legal. And he makes it illegal to even blaspheme the Lord God. He still isn't sure that God is the only God, but he is sure that God is the most powerful God. 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so these three men, young men, probably, remained faithful with no guarantees that all would go well in this life. They had no guarantees that God was going to save them from the furnace. They had no guarantees. But they remained faithful anyway, without any guarantees. But God was gracious, and he rewarded their faith before they even died and went to paradise. I'm sure they've been rewarded handsomely since they've died, but they were even rewarded before they died because they remained true to God. And we'll pick it up in chapter 4 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.